as we've been looking over the things of God's Word over the last month plus, probably, we've been talking about some things found in the book of John, and not that will not be my subject today, but just to go back and think about the fact, the question that Pilate asked, what is truth? And over a period of time, we've tried to talk here and try to drive home and emphasize to you as God's children that that we need to believe and trust God's Word as being the ultimate truth about life, the world, about what we should believe, how we should act, what we should do. If there's ever any doubt about you know, what's the right thing to do, then to go back and say, what's God's Word say? And even comparing all the actions of life and day, and to remember, of course, that Christ Himself is the truth. That kind of sets the stage, if you will. And I don't know that this will be a like a series like some things that I've done thus far this year. But want to turn over and look at a portion of Scripture we find in Proverbs chapter 3. Then use that to go to the New Testament, to some things that we find in the book of Acts. And you just pray that God will bless us, because I think in the day and the age that we're living in, and God's people are always challenged down through the ages. You know, our belief, our faith, our trust is often challenged, and I don't see that changing, by the way. In fact, I think what we as God's people have to look forward to as the future comes upon us is more persecution, more trial in our lives, especially if we're bold enough to stand up and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and believe God's Word is the truth. I think you're going to find yourself more and more challenged, more and more persecuted, and yes, even in the Bible Belt South. So it's just, I think we can face that. And we as God's children, you know, I've always believed, whether you were talking about, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about sports events, you know, some of the greatest ball games that we all like to think about, or whether we're talking about war. It's very important for us to have a idea and a plan of what we're going to do and how we're going to stand, and to be sure, know where our defense is, and be able to face it. You know, there's nothing, I guess my point is, there's nothing like being prepared. You know, if you're going to play a ball game, you need to be prepared for what's going to happen. If you're going to go into war, you better be prepared for the things that you're going to face. Some of them are going to be ugly. Some of them are going to be cruel. But going in with the mindset of knowing that, it won't prevent it from affecting you. But it will give you mental preparation for knowing that I'm fixing to go into some trials and troubles. And I think as God's people, what we need to do is be ready. And to be prepared for what our future might look like. In the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, I'll just skip down to verse 5 and begin with that. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, do I have to give a long, is that hard to understand? Trust in God. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust all the other information you can get out there. Trust God. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Now, yeah, again, the Word of God is not so complicated, really, is it? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. How do I acknowledge Him in my day-to-day life? That means whether I'm at work, in my marriage, in my job, at my school, in Africa. In all my ways, acknowledge God is King of kings and Lord of lords. Wherever I go, whatever I do, however I talk, however I act, I'm representing Jesus Christ out there to those in a dark world. And so in all your ways, acknowledge Him. You know, I acknowledge Christ in my finances. Do I pay my bills on time? Am I an honorable person? Do I bring a portion of what God has granted me and bring it to the table to support God and His kingdom? All of that is acknowledging Him. So in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want God directing my walk, my direction, my life, my job, where I might end up at. You know, the path is how you get to where you're going, right? I want God directing my path. I want Him with me as I go, not just when I get there. I want Him guiding me on the right path. And so thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't think you know it all. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You know what? If nothing, above all things, don't be smart in your own eyes. In fact, if you can, in a way, be ignorant in your own eyes. And I'm not talking about being dumb. I'm just saying, don't have such a high opinion of yourself. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And then I'll read through this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. I think it's going to be very important for us to trust God. To believe God's word is the truth. It in everything that we do, acknowledge Him regardless of what the world might say around us. Continue to acknowledge God. He will direct our paths. Now, I believe God was directing the Apostle Paul's path, don't you? Doesn't mean Paul never had a single shipwreck. Doesn't mean Paul wasn't run out of town and beaten to death. It doesn't mean Paul wasn't stoned. Doesn't mean Paul wasn't shipwrecked. Doesn't mean he wasn't bitten by a viper. Doesn't mean that he didn't receive 40 stripes, save one, on 5 different occasions for preaching the word of God. But God was still directing his path. God had a place he wanted Paul to be. But it doesn't mean that he just popped him out of this world and put him in a cocoon and said, "Oh, Paul, I'm directing your path, so nothing bad will ever happen to you." No, you're still in the world. You're still in a sin-cursed world, and we're subject to the afflictions, and we're certainly subject to the evil of this world being poured out on God's children in a lot of ways. So, let's see if I can redo this without... it'll never happen, probably. Won't matter. Won't matter. All right, I'll leave it laying here. At least I know where it's at. And all of our ways acknowledge Him. All right, so let's turn over to the book of Acts. And I can give you the quick summary on the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts. Maybe the first 3 chapters of the book of Acts, because we have Christ ascending back above, the apostles standing there witnessing Him, the angels declaring that this one that's going away is going to return in like manner. We have Jesus telling His apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait till the day of Pentecost. We know that on the day of Pentecost, they gathered together. There were people gathered together there out of every nation. The Bible says, but there wasn't a huge crowd, like 150 or whatever was there, but they were people representing the Jews out of every nation in the area, and so much so that as the apostles began to speak, God performed a miracle there in their presence so that all the people there could hear them as if they were speaking in their own tongue. Now, I like that, and as they began to speak and preach, Peter condemned those Jews that were there, saying, "This Christ, this one that I'm talking about, you have taken and by wicked and cruel hands have crucified Him, yet He's still King of kings and Lord of lords." And as Peter preached that message, the Bible says that they were pricked in the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they did. 3,000 were added to the church that day. And as they began, it says they came together and had all things in common and began to share their goods. Now, if we turn on into Acts chapter 3, we find now John and Peter going up to the temple. There was a man there that had been lame from his birth. And he cried out to was there asking alms. In other words, he wanted people, was getting donations for people. He wasn't able to work. And Peter informs him, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Arise and walk." And this man rose up leaping. The Bible tells us later in either 4 or 5, Acts 4 or 5, that this man was above 40 years old, had been lame from his birth. Those of the in the medical industry here in our congregation can imagine this man had never walked, had to be carried from where he went. His muscles had no strength. In fact, the muscles would have been practically nothing, right, inside his body. And yet when Peter called on him, he rose up and began to walk immediately. Nothing but the power of God could have done that for this man. And so people began to praise John and Peter. They began to give all the praise and all the glory and all the honor to God, saying, "We could not have done this. This is not something we could do, but only the power of God, this same one that you crucified and that you put on the cross, is the one that has the power to raise this man up and make him walk." So he begins to once again go through that. It says he called on them, verse 19 of Acts 3, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And if we read on down through there, again, I think 4,000 or 5,000 were added to the church with the things of the miracles that were taking place at that time. So now we get to chapter 4. So, and again, I hope that I can get through some of this today. That's my intention. But and I'm going to be doing a lot of scripture reading to you today. I don't mean to insult you by reading to you a book that I know you can read, but try to go through and listen to what is laid out here in this book of Acts. So as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Now you understand, the Sadducees were the ones that did not believe in the resurrection. So they're going around teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this one that they had killed had been resurrected, and it was by his power they were working the miracles and so forth. And so the Sadducees came to them, and they were upset because they were teaching about the resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. In other words, they put them in a holding cell, jail, prison, whatever you want to call it, put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Knew I'd read that somewhere during the last day or so looking at this. And it says, "It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst," talking about now the apostles, "when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we have this day, if we this day be examined of the good deed," we're still talking about the fact that the man that was lame from his birth had been healed, "if we're being examined for this good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead," made sure he got his poke in there to talk about the resurrection again in front of the Sadducees, "whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness. This is the stone that was set at naught by of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you, Peter was go and read at the messages that Peter preached in Acts 2 and Acts 3 and here in Acts 4. And I'll tell you, Peter was on a roll, okay, and was bold in preaching the word of God. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'll tell you, I've seen men that, and in some ways people say, well, you know, and some of their preaching looked like they didn't have much education. I've known back in my younger years men that didn't have a lot of worldly education, but could take the word of God and preach it with power because God was with them. And I will not tell the stories. Brother Paul Blair was talking about his granddad, and I knew him as a young man, and just some great stories about the things that he did, and just the common sense knowledge he had for doing things around a farm and just taking care of things. I've heard him get up and preach. Probably had about a third grade education, but the man could get up and preach. With the power of God. And it says, these men, they're looking at Peter and John and saying, well, these are just fishermen. You know, these are not Levites. They've not been educated in the theological world of the Jews of that day. Yet Peter and John were boldly declaring the word of God and that Jesus Christ was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. They're declaring that this one that you've crucified and slain with wicked hands is the Redeemer of God's children. And they noted, these educated Sadducees noted the boldness of these men, how bold they were in front of them to declare Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, there's going to be a time for you and me, and the time's now, okay? The time is every day to be bold about speaking the Word of God and declaring Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they noted that Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they weren't educated like they were, but that doesn't mean they were dumb, okay? And it says, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. One thing they noted is whatever it was that they were talking about, they took note, these men have been with Jesus Christ. And beholding the man which was healed, yeah, we got a problem, guys. We've got these men that we're saying are bad guys. We've had them in a holding cell overnight. Surely they're just railing against the religious world and so forth. What are they doing? But they had a problem. Standing there next to them was a man that everybody in town knew. Standing next to them was a man that everybody knew had been lame from his birth. And buddy, they didn't know what to do with that. I mean, you can get around a lot of things, but when the evidence is standing there that this man that everybody knew was lame from his birth and had not walked was standing there bold, it's hard to say, these guys are really bad guys. These guys have been going around preaching things that are totally wrong, but we got a problem. There's a healed man next to them. And I'll tell you, when we look at maybe our lives, you know, do we belittle sometimes the power of God? Am I looking at people out here today that can say, if you had seen me 20 years ago, if you had seen me 10 years ago, you would say, I've been healed of God. And the evidence is standing here. Everybody can talk about Christians. But with only there's one problem. We got some evidence. The evidence is that God is with us, right? And that God has healed us. God's made us different. God's given us feet to walk and eyes to see and ears to hear. And we're not like we used to be. And you can take the worst case of the worst cases. I think about talking about Brother Joe Nettles. I've never asked him 500 questions, but Brother Joe will say, I'm not the man I was when I was a young man, when I was in college and when I was in junior college. I'm not the man. Because why? Because God got a hold of me. Never thought I'd be a minister. Never thought I'd be a preacher. God got a hold of me. And so here we are. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them and that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They didn't know what to say because the problem was there was a healed man standing there. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council. Now, okay, you apostles, we want y'all to step out back. We got to talk here for a minute. So they sent them out and commanded they go outside of the council. And they conferred among themselves, saying, what should we say to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. And that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be in thy right, whether it be right in thy sight to hearken to you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. It was kind of hard. They threatened them. Don't y'all talk about Jesus no more. Don't y'all be going around talking about this Jesus. And when they threatened them, and then they threatened them again, but they kind of had to hold off a little bit because the problem was there was a healed man that everybody knew, and so they had to let him go. For the man was above 40 years old of whom this miracle of healing was showed, and being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that they with all boldness may speak thy word. All right, so I told you I was going to be reading a lot of scripture, all right? So what do? They let them go. They go back to their company, and what do when they get back to their band of believers? They're praising God. We're thankful to God, and they're going on and they're repeating. They read here, the quote here is from Psalm chapter 2, if you want to go read it sometime, prophesying that the men were going to raise up and persecute the Lord and persecute Christ. And so they're praising God about the threatenings that they've received. Lord, we're thankful for this, that we're worthy to stand with you. And by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed and the place was shaken where they assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. and the multitude of them that believed, were of one heart and one soul, and neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed of his own, but they had all things in common. So they're just praising God that they've been persecuted. Now, I'm going to tell you, when the persecution comes to us as God's people for standing up for the Word of God, can we all come together? And we might have to get back to our own little bands. Praise God, we've been persecuted for preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. We've been threatened. We've been put in jail. All these things have happened to us. But praise God, we're walking in good company like Christ was, who was also persecuted, also threatened, also jailed. We're in good company. Can we do that? I'll tell you, the challenge is out there in front of us, but we need to know what to expect. And you say, well, Brother Charles, do you really believe this is going to happen? I believe it's going to happen. Now, is it going to be 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years? I don't know. I can tell you, I believe it's close these days. And the more we speak out and teach the things of God's Word, the more likely it's going to happen to you and me. People are going to find us. God's people are going to be persecuted. Oh, it's not going to be just Primitive Baptists, my friends. It's going to be all denominational groups that make the stand that God's Word is the truth. There's already discussions out there. Well, what are they going to do? Well, they want to threaten us financially. You know, they'll say, we'll take away your tax exempt status. Well, I got news for them on that one here at Zion Dress. But anyway, we're under the radar on a lot of things. But you know, there may be people out there scanning the internet. Who knows? Maybe they'll have software that can listen in to every message and say, hey, we want to know what they're declaring these days. They might find us. Who knows? Don't care. Want to stand with God regardless of what may happen. So I'll summarize the end of 4 and going into 5. Now, so they all come together after Peter and John and the apostles have been persecuted. And they have everything in common. They took their land. In fact, it brings up one here by the name of Barnabas, which you'll recognize as one of the ones that went with Peter and John during the early preachings, and also with Paul after Paul was declared to be an apostle. There was one by the name of Barnabas, and Barnabas was a Levite, it says, and Barnabas had land, and he sold his land and pooled the money together with God's people. And the early church did those things. And we find here as we go into chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold their possessions. But they kept back part of what they had sold. You know, I don't think, as I read this story, I don't think that keeping back part of it was the sin. I think the sin was they went and made it like they were giving everything that they had sold it for. It wasn't that they kept some back. I think if they had told it, had sold the land and kept a little bit back for themselves and declared, yeah, we sold it for this. We did keep a little bit, you know, for our own future here, but we're giving the rest of it to the church. Probably they'd have said, well, okay, others have given everything, but, you know, okay. But they came and presented it like they were giving everything they had received for the land. And so for their property. And it says, Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast lied unto men, and hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all that heard these things. I'll tell you, you say, well, wow, you mean they lied about it and God struck them dead? I'm telling you, that's exactly what the Word of God says happened here, is they lied about what they were giving to the church, giving to the early church. And because of that, Peter came and confronted him with it, and the man fell down and gave up the ghost that day. Now, so now his wife comes along, doesn't know her husband's died. Sapphira comes along in a little while, and Peter begins to quiz her. Did you sell it for this amount? Yes, we did. He's like, no, you didn't. and he tells her, said, the men that carried your husband out and buried him are coming in the door, and they'll carry you out too. She falls down and gives up the ghost, and they towed her out. And the word of and the hearing of these things spread throughout the community. Can you imagine? Well, you better not be lying to God, okay? The next thing you know, you're giving up the ghost. And so she fell down. A great fear came upon all the church. Verse 11, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick in the streets and laid them on the beds and the couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Can you imagine what it was like in that day? I mean, the apostles were coming through, and people were toting folks out into the street, hoping Peter's shadow would pass over them, and that they would be healed just from his shadow passing by. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and were healed every one. If you hadn't ever read that, I don't know that I'd ever read that and thought about it. Everyone that came that was had an unclean spirit or sick, every one of them was healed. You're talking about a success rate. And then the high priest rose up, and all that they were that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees. We've got the non-resurrection believers over here again. And were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. I'll tell you, when you're doing what God would have you to do, God can get you out, okay? So they put them in prison by day. The angel comes, lets them out by night, and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. And the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now they don't. The next morning they call their council together and don't know that they're down in the temple already teaching again. And so they call and they send to the prison to get them brought to them. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut." In other words, now this. Yeah. Again, follow the story here of what's being told. They got to the prison. The prison was locked up and secure. Okay? When the officers came, they found them not in the prison, returned and told, saying, "The prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we opened, we found no man within." So, well, how did the angel of the Lord get them out? I don't know. He floated them out the door, through the wall, whatever he did. He got them out and told them to go to the temple. That's where they were. And when the prison guards came the next day, they found everything locked, shut, and safe until they opened it up. And it said, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." And when the captain with the officers, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. So now they go down to the temple, and they came with them. They didn't put up a fuss and a fight and begin to argue and pitch a fit and all those kind of things. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought, so can you imagine? They didn't put up a fuss. I believe what he's saying here, they didn't put up a fuss because they feared that if they were stoned to death for resisting, that then the people would rise up and riot and some of them would get killed. So their whole thought was not about what we're doing in one way. It's thinking about the people out there of God's children. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name?" And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man, rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, and for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are all his witnesses of these things, and so is all the also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You say, Brother Charles, what is the point of all this? I think for us today, we've got to get an apostle mindset. Amen. And we've got to ask ourselves every day, is it better to obey men or God? And you say, well, Brother Charles, are you talking about some of the legislation that's been passed and some of the Supreme Court rulings? Yes, I am. But you know what? It's more than that. Yes. We've gotten the mindset today that, you know what? We'll just go along with what the men say. We'll go along with what the world says. And we are not stopping to think about what does God's Word say. It's happening in this land when it comes to how people treat their wives. It's coming to how people treat their husbands. It's happening with people before they get married. And they're saying, well, it's okay to do certain things. What does God's Word say? How does God's Word say we're to conduct ourselves? It's easier to go along with men and the peer pressure and all these things. It's easier to do that. I'll tell you, God will bless us if we get back to doing what God says. God took care of the apostles. Did he not take care of them? You say, well, Brother Charles, all of them were killed in the service of God. Yes, they were. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that we won't be killed in the service of God, standing up for him. But I'll tell you, I believe even if that happens, we can say, I know where I'm going when this life is over, and I'm going home to be with the Lord, and I will stand for him, because on the cross, my friends, he stood for me and you and didn't back down. Amen. He didn't bat an eye. He thought about you and me. He could have stood there and said, I'm innocent. He was. He could have stood there and said, I'm the king, the creator. I'm actually the one that created the tree that y'all are nailing me to. I'm the one that created this earth that you're walking on. I'm the one that created and blessed you with the things that you have. He could have said all that and he would have been true. But as a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. Amen. Why? Because of me and you. His thought was me and you. He was dying to redeem us, to shed his blood for you and me. And I'll tell you, when we get under just a little bit of pressure from our peers and from the world we're living in and the world court opinion of whatever, of political correctness in this world that we're living today, are we going to stand here and say, well, I guess I better back down and say, well, you know, okay, you know, and deny God's word? Because it might mean just a little bit of heartache and a little bit of trouble for you and me. It's time for us to stand up. And maybe somebody will say, maybe they'll just say, well, it's them old aggravating Christians again. I don't know what they might say. But maybe somebody will note the boldness that you might have, just like they did with Peter and John in their day. And say, they boldly stood and spoke the things of God's Word. What did they hear? They heard Peter get up and say, "This Christ that y'all have, that we're talking about, him hath God exalted." Back to verse 31, with his right hand to be Prince and Savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What was it? They saw him after he was resurrected from the dead. They saw him when he came to the house. Peter saw him when he was out fishing, had gone fishing and was naked out there doing things that he shouldn't have been doing. And Christ came to him and said, Peter, what are you doing? Didn't I call you to feed my sheep and feed my lamb? Oh, yeah, Lord, that's right. I thought you were dead. No, Peter, I'm alive forevermore. And when we think, sometimes you say, well, who are we serving? Are we serving ourselves and our belly and our flesh and our life? Or are we serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And when they heard these things, what he was telling them about this one that they had killed, when they heard that, we're talking about the Sadducees now, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them, the apostles. So as he spoke the truth to them about Jesus Christ, they were convicted about it, and it made them mad, even the more so. Then stood up one of the council, a Pharisee. So they've got their great council. They've got the Sadducees. They're railing against them because they're preaching the resurrection. And this old strict, hard-nosed Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel stood up, a doctor of the law, and had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Give them a little room. And let's just see what happens. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves and what ye intend to do as touching these men. Well, now, Gamaliel, by the way, is the one, if you remember, Saul of Tarsus learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was one of the ones that taught Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. This Pharisee of the council says, let's give these people a little bit of space. And let them go, he says, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasted himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. And after this, this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. A lot of times we get a lot of ideas, you know, about we're going to stand up, we're going to do this. These people are like, man, these apostles, we're going to put an end to them. Gamaliel stands up and says, listen, you got to think about this. If God's not with them, it's going to crumble. But if God is with them, you're fighting against God, and you're not going to succeed fighting against God. And I'll tell you, we as God's children, we need to keep in mind, who are we standing with? Is God with us? If God's with us, we're not going to fail. We're not going to fall. We need to just constantly be examining ourselves. Are we with God? I want to make sure I'm with God, don't you? I want to make sure I'm standing for the things that He would have me to stand. I want to make sure that I'm properly saying, you know what? I might not get every detail right about what I believe. I might not take every stand that I should take. But I do want to tell you, Jesus Christ, the one I follow, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior and Redeemer and the one that came and gave His life for me and for you and is seated on the right hand of God, interceding for us today. That's who I'm standing with. That's who I'm standing for. I want to represent Him and His Word rightly. And if we're standing with Him, I'll tell you what, all the armies of Satan, my friends, cannot defeat us. And so we need to just be constantly examining ourselves. Where am I? What am I doing? Who am I standing with? Am I denying God? The Bible says if we deny God, He will also deny us. And as we don't stand up and say, you know what? Call me what you will. Say about me what you will. I'm defending God's word when it comes to the truth about what He has to say, and I will stand with it and let all the troubles come as they may. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, you know, follow this. When they had called the apostles out, okay, Gamaliel, we agree with you. If God's with them, then we better let them alone. So they called the apostles to them, and when they had beaten them, and they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and they let them go. Gamaliel, you might be right, but I'll tell you what, we're going to give them one more beating before we let them go and tell them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That is where we are. That's where we are today. You know what? And my prayer for us and for me and for you is that we might be bold, not cocky, not all-knowing, not a smart aleck, but bold in Christ Jesus to say, you know what? I'm standing for him. I want to make sure I'm standing for him and his word. And you know what? The best way you and I can do that is act like that every day. Our credibility will be lost in the world that we're living in if we don't conduct ourselves as followers of him daily. Because when the time comes and the trial comes and the tribulation comes in our lives, our witness will be so much better if people can look and say, I saw him act in a way that displayed Christ in every day, in every way, in all he did. And so now when I see him making this stand, I believe even more so that he believes in this one, that he's standing up and representing and defending. It's so important that we do that. I trust that some of these things, some way or another, have meant something to you. It's been on my mind for a week, and I didn't get up this day. You know, I wouldn't let myself get up and talk to you last Sunday because I didn't need to be up here, and these boys needed the opportunity to get up and speak. And I appreciate them helping me out last week when I didn't feel good and kind of under the weather. So I trust that we might go back and say, trust the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul and all of our might, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May God bless you. Let's stand and sing a song.